Welcome to the Bible Insights Podcast with your host, Val Waldick. We are studying the book of Revelation according to its outline detailed in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. John the Apostle, author of this magnificent book, was instructed to write his vision in three parts. 1. The things which you have seen, his vision of the glorious risen Lord, which he does in chapter 1. 2. The things which are, a panorama of church history throughout the seven stages of its history from the early church to the present time. The seven churches chosen by the Lord were not the largest or the most important of that time. They were chosen for a purpose because they so accurately reflect church history through the ages. There's a specific message for each type of church, each type of church age, and each type of individual Christian. 5 of the 7 churches were strongly commanded to repent. Only 2 heard no word of condemnation from the Lord, the suffering church at Smyrna and the faithful Philadelphian church. Today we look at the worst case scenario, the church at Laodicea, the church most prominent in the end of the end times. We are certainly living in perilous times, and the Lord of the church has something to say to the end time church. We need to go back to John's vision of the Lord in chapter 1 to gain a better understanding of the Lord's condemnation of the seventh church, representing the last church age before the rapture. John's vision. He says in Revelation chapter 1 verses 10 and 11, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book, and send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. The Lord has a word for the church today, and John is told to write it down. It comes directly from the heart of God himself. It's not the imaginations and perceptions of preachers or teachers. This message is from the Lord of the church. John heard his voice clearly. He wrote, Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. We know from Revelation chapter 1 verse 12 that the lampstands or the candlesticks represent the local church body of believers. We're not talking about denominations now. A denomination means the name any particular group chooses to call themselves to differentiate from other groups for administration and practical purposes. The Lord is talking about his born-again people who meet together in groups to worship him. John is totally overwhelmed when he sees the risen Christ. This is not the bearded, sandaled Jesus he walked with for 3 years. This is the glorified, resurrected Christ standing in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands, identified in verse 20 as his church. This is the Lord of the church. We're going to notice 3 things about him. The first thing we notice is his majesty and glory. And in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with the golden band, Revelation chapter 1 verse 13. He wears the long royal robe of a king and the golden girdle of a priest, our King of Kings and great high priest, glorious and magnificent. Revelation 1:14, his head and hair were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. John is describing the Ancient of Days with eyes that penetrate into the inner recesses of men and women. This is not Father Christmas or the man upstairs. We are reminded of Daniel's description of God centuries earlier. Daniel wrote, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. You'll find that in Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. Daniel is describing the coming great day of judgment. John picks up the same theme in Revelation chapter 1 verses 15 and 16. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Brass or bronze speaks of judgment. John is describing the great judge of all mankind. Who is the judge of mankind? It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 5 verse 22, the Bible tells us, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." John said the Lord was holding 7 stars in his right hand. We've already learned from verse 20 that these stars represent the leadership of the church. The Greek word translated angels means messenger. Revelation 1 verse 20, "The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand, and the 7 golden lampstands." The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. This precious, God-inspired book will be the standard by which God judges his servants and followers. The Bible says, church leaders especially should be aware, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. James chapter 3 verse 1. This is a word for the pulpit as well as the pew. Hebrews 4 verse 12. "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. His face," John said, "was like the sun shining in its strength." The Lord of the church is glorious. The second thing we notice about Jesus is his passion. Revelation 1:15, "And his voice as the sound of many waters." His voice drowns out all others. It is powerful and it passionate. The Lord is passionate about his church. Imagine a man saying to his wife, "I love you," casually, without passion. Will she be excited? Jesus loves us with a passion. The third thing we notice is his relationship with his church. Revelation 1:12-13. "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands, and in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man." Jesus is found in the very midst of his church, keeping his promise never to leave nor forsake his people. He is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, the one who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. Revelation 1 verse 5. Our faithful Redeemer, God manifested in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." Jesus is God, and to know him is to have eternal life. 1 John 5:11 and 12, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." There's a vast difference between knowing him and knowing about him. The Lord of the church is glorious, passionate, and in relationship with his church. John is so overwhelmed that he collapses at the feet of Jesus. Revelation 1:17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" Notice how the Lord stoops down to his level and reassures him. He's always there for us, meeting us at the point of our need. How indifferent the Laodicean end-time church is to the Lord of the church. Let's have a look at the church of the Laodiceans. Their letter begins like this. Revelation 3:14. "To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He is the Lord of the church and sovereign in all his dealings with them. Sadly, the Lord's assessment of the church at the end of the church age is not good. In his opinion, they lack glory, they lack passion, and they lack genuine relationship with him, having settled for religion instead. We need to sit up and take note. He's talking about the end time generation. First, the total lack of glory. Revelation 3:17, the Lord says, "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Laodicea was a very wealthy city. It was the banking, commercial, and industrial center of its time. It was founded by Antiochus II and named after his wife, famous for its gold, garments, and medical school. It was also a worldly, materialistic, and pleasure-conscious city. The city accurately reflects the state of the Laodicean church, compromising with the world, self-centered, out for all they could get, and unconcerned about the things of God. They were not givers to the kingdom, rebelling against supporting God's word with their time, their effort, and their money. They believed themselves to be glorious, but God says they are arrogant and they're proud. Revelation 3:17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, I have need of nothing. He says, you don't know it, but you actually are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This church had become wealthy with an emphasis on money. They were interested in material things, material goods, motor cars, clothes, status. They were focused on gold, on money. You know, it's been estimated that about 10% of the world is Christian. 90% are not passionate about Jesus. We know that. And yet, only a small proportion of all Christians put their resources and finances into reaching the unreached millions, supporting missions and ministries. Something is wrong here. Something is very wrong. The problem does not lie with the Lord of the church. It lies with a self-centered, materialistic, end-time church totally focused on its own needs. Believers, we must take care that we are not also caught up in the spirit of the age. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. We've noticed the lack of glory. Secondly, we notice the lack of passion. Hear Jesus on the end-time church. He says, so then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. Nothing is worse than tepid or lukewarm water. And the Lord says to the end-time church that they make him sick. They make him want to vomit. Karl Marx wrote that religion is the opiate of the masses. It's the drug that puts them to sleep spiritually. And that is so true. Religion makes God sick because it shuts people out of heaven. It has the appearance of blessing. There's lots of money, there are buildings, material things, crowds, programs. It's not cold towards Jesus. It does many things in his name. The Laodicean believers think of themselves as being hot. They have so many projects, so many things going on, but God thinks nothing of their works. Some of the end-time clergy believe that to modern man, living in this age of scientific development, the concept of a heavenly city with gold-paved streets and jeweled gates sounds very far-fetched. A professor from the Department of Religious Studies at a local university said, I doubt whether people still think of heaven and hell. There's too much else that distracts them. Many believe that hell is a state of mind, an archaic concept. The Lord does not consider Laodicean believers hot at all. In fact, he says, Matthew 7:21-22, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that name, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? We cast out demons in your name. We did many wonders in your name. Folks, not all who call him Lord are Christians. Those who don't know him personally as Lord and Savior have no idea what he expects from them. And he says that their works, the things that they are doing, their programs and their outreaches are not sanctioned by him. Matthew 7:23, he says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practices lawlessness. You see, passion for the Lord is related to knowledge of his word and obedience to his will and purposes. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. The living word and the written word are one. We dare not attempt to serve him our way and on our terms. Without relationship in a marriage, passion is lost, and people look elsewhere for intimate relationship, leading to all sorts of devious behavior. And it's no different in the spiritual world. Listen to this description of the end of days, found in 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Saddest of all, though, the Laodicean church has no relationship with the Lord. There's a total lack of relationship with the Lord of the church. Jesus said, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot." Like a marriage with no relationship, Laodicean believers have no time to pray, worship, and fellowship with the Lord or with his people. Prayer meetings are the least attended functions. We can take our spiritual temperature by asking ourselves these questions. How is my Bible reading and personal prayer time? Do I reflect the Lord's glory? Do I reflect his passion for the church? Do I reflect his passion for the lost? Am I in close relationship with him? Or am I just religious, like the Laodicean church? The Bible urges Christians not to forsake or neglect the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. The closer we come to the rapture of the church, the closer we must come together as a people, and the closer must be our relationship with the Lord of the church. We need our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and the Lord needs us to be together and to strengthen each other. People were created and designed to worship. Did you know that? God created us like that. Satan knows that, and that's why he seeks to divert attention to himself. That's why the end-time church tries to fill the gap of personal fellowship with God in other ways. For example, the occult, spiritism, tarot cards, astrology, pendulums, psychics, and a host of things like the New Age movement and interfaith movements. We're designed to worship, and if we will not worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, then we will worship Satan and his movements. Here's a question for us. Is there hope for religious people, those without a genuine relationship with the Lord? Is there hope for lukewarm, backslidden Christians? Folks, there is always hope. And so we see the Lord's counsel to the Laodicean church. Buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve. The Lord's counsel to the end-time church with its lukewarmness, its self-sufficient spirit, and emphasis on material things is to seek his gold and become truly rich, to be clothed in the robes of righteousness, white garments without stain. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." John wrote about the tribulation saints who found the Lord during the reign of Antichrist. He describes them in chapter 7, verse 14 of Revelation. He says, "These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The Laodicean medical school was famous for its treatment of eyes. The Lord says, "Let them look to him to open their spiritual eyes, so that they may see things as the Lord sees them, through the filter of his word." The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5. We are called upon to concentrate on true riches, seeking to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. The call to repent. The Lord told John to write these words to the Laodicean church. Revelation 3:19. He said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Repent means to turn around and go the other way. Zealous means do not take this warning lightly. He does not want anyone to be lost eternally. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16 and 17. The Lord says in Revelation 3:20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door." That's the door of our heart. "And knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. If you want to be in intimate relationship with the Lord and in fellowship with him, then hear him knocking at the door of your heart. Repent of your sin and open that door. And he promises he will come in and fellowship with you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14 verse 6. The early church agreed, nor is there salvation in any other, they said, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be right with God and ready for heaven. The Lord means business, folks. Here's his promise to those who heed his call in these evil days. Revelation 3:21-22. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Did you get that? I will grant to sit with him on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus is coming very, very soon. 2 Peter 3:14 says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, reflecting the glory of the Lord, passionate for the Lord, and in vital fellowship with him. Let's take a moment today to search our hearts, to repent, to ask forgiveness for our lackadaisical ways, and resolve to serve the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. I invite you to visit my website, valwaldick.com. You can find the notes of this podcast right there. Sign up for the newsletter, and you will receive a copy of my award-winning book, When the Storms Come. God bless you.